Isaiah chapter 53, one verse. Title of the message is Everyone to His Own Way. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. He said, All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've all gone astray. I mean, everybody since the first Adam through the past the second Adam to the baby that's being born, that God says is conceived in sin. Do I understand all that? I don't understand it. But I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe it. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And nobody can say it isn't so. You look at our lives, what we just talked about, our societies, our cultures, our habits, and even our thoughts, the way we think. And I was awakened this morning at 5 a.m., and that's the first thing that came to my mind was God said, what about your thoughts? And the way we think. And so immediately the first thing I did when I got up and around was I looked up a few verses on our thoughts. Are we not now governed by thought police? We are. If you've ever read 1984? I read it years ago, and I think Brother Jeff knew. He might have sent me the book. I don't remember. And I read the book, and it's eerily true at this hour. We have thought police in our society. Not permitted to utter certain words. I saw this morning this guy's going in a grocery store in Florida and he's busted by two plainclothes cops because he didn't have his mask on the way they wanted him to have his mask on. Coming by Lissy and Eccles, the feed store, on the way over here this morning. Melissa said, look at those signs, and they were as big as that back of that cabinet that you can't go in there without a mask on. Well, I guess I can't go in there because I don't really care. I'll get my feed somewhere else. And in a sense, that's thought. I mean, it is. It's thought. It's the way. I don't think the way you do. And so they're gonna penalize us for that, you know. Did you know that even when in the days in the Bible when Stephen preached, if you remember that in the book of Acts, and he preached to the Jews of his day, he was preaching to the church. And I know something about this. The church you used to belong to. I always think about that church that I preached in many, many years, 30, I guess 30 some odd years ago now. Maybe 33 years ago, I don't know. And I remember all those women coming to the front. And they were gnashing their teeth. They were mad as hornets in that church, you see. And Stephen preached to the Jews, to the religious people. And those women that were mad that day, I remember them so well. They were seemingly the most religious in that church. They had their own little section up there. It was like they were like cheerleaders up there. Until it concerned them. And then, and so Stephen, he preached to the Jews, the religious people. And the Bible says they stopped their ears and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They stoned him. And one of the most religious, at that time, Saul of Tarsus, he held their cloaks. He held their clothes while they stoned him so they wouldn't get blood on their clothes. Even as Christ Jesus spoke, he cried, blasphemy, blasphemy, you see. And what did they do to him? They crucified him. Thought. I said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Most know not that we'll be judged. It's an amazing thing to me with the Bible and the way the Bible's written. We think and we will be judged on all of these different things that we've done in life. But he said, know you not, you'll be judged by every word that comes out of your mouth. By our words. And that's what I hear all day. I meet people all day long and I hear their words. They hear my words, I hear their words. I don't know if they're murderers, child molesters, adulterers, fornicators, drunkards. I don't know that. But in other words, you see. And usually I'm going to tell you that within about 5 minutes, when you're in business and you're dealing with people, you can pretty much tell something about that person. You know what? Not so much, by the way, well, now they're all pierced up and tattooed up, but in my day they weren't. But by their words, by what they say, by what comes out of our mouth. God says blessing and cursing from the same fountain. How can that be? It says it in the book of James. You can't get salt and sweet water from the same fountain, you see. Blessing and cursing from the same mouth. I know that I'm vexed by the words, the conversation of the wicked. We talked about that years ago when you rode in those crew trucks. The wicked every day. And man, words that we'd have got whooped, got our mouths washed out with soap. And now the women where I work use those words. I've heard children use them. I saw this morning they had out for Black Lives Matter on the news, and they had their children with a sign with the most prevalent word that we all know what it is, about the police. And they have their children this size carrying those signs, you see. Words. Vile words. Spewing daily. From even the mouths of babes and women. You know how Peter denied God? Words. It was words. He's standing out there. Hey, you're one of his. Hey, you're this. And Peter was an old fisherman. I don't know if you've ever been around any old fishermen or sailors. They've got a pretty good vocabulary. I was in the war with some of those folks. I had a good vocabulary. It wasn't good in this sense, you see. It's how Peter denied God, his mouth. He started swearing. You know how he was going to prove that he didn't know Jesus? He started cussing. Men deny Christ daily with such words. Those words shouldn't come out of a saint of God, out of a child of God, you see. And then they proclaim every Sunday, oh, how they love Jesus. Adultery and fornication don't mean anything today. I'm going to tell you that easily over half the people that I work with, young people, age, let's say 20 to 30, that's where most of them fall. They all have children. They're all living with somebody. And they're not married. Man, in the day, I couldn't begin to start naming the sins that involves against God, you see. So sin has become, we've become callous to sin. And you hear these words over and over and over, and you just become callous to them. But they mean something. They mean the difference is what God's going to use to judge men. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone from his own way, the Bible says. And boy, have we ever. I told you that I woke this morning just in that manner. The Lord asking me, I'm laying there. And he said, where are your thoughts of me? Who am I? Have you ever tried to reply against God? Where are your thoughts of me? Guilty. Guilty. My thoughts. Said, see, you thought you were doing all right, but I know what you're thinking. I'd let some briars grow up in my garden. Busy all day long. I've got things to do and always something going on. Yeah, I pray in the mornings. Pray every morning. I read the Bible. But then what? You get busy and you get busier and you get busier and you, well, I've got this and I've got this and I've got this. Off into the world we go, you see. And thoughts are everywhere except where they should be. And the Bible speaks exclusively and exactly where our thoughts are to be. Now I'm gonna confess a little bit. I suffer a great disadvantage. I've not really spoken of this much. Brother David, he came through. He never heard of it. I've got what I classify as severe tinnitus, what known other people commonly call ringing in the ears. Okay, you may think I'm loud right now. I don't know. I sound normal to me, but I may be booming. I don't know. But it's not merely ringing. I have this screaming in my ears all day, all night. It never, ever ceases. It's just there. I don't know. It's from the time that when I was in the ward and we didn't put on ear protectors to shoot all those bullets. And then I was on flight lines, and I don't know. It doesn't matter. Really, the cause doesn't matter. And I really hesitate to speak on it. And the only remedies, we're speaking about thought, and that's why it came, because you have to redirect your thoughts. And it's kind of like, you know, when people die, if you're the person involved in that thing, you just live day by day and you get busy. Things come up, you know, go spray something or get on the tractor or go shoot. You kind of redirect your thoughts. And I have to do that. And I don't like talking about this because it brings it back. Now I'm right on top of it. That's the only way I know how to speak of it. And it's not a remedy. It's just a way to cope. If you've ever heard of cicada bug, that's what I've got. I got 103 of them over here and 406 of them over here. And they're in a symphony. And they are just screeching, okay? And I've got a head full of them. And the girl thinks, that explains a lot. But amen. You'll seldom hear me or ever be around me without noise. And if I have to, I'm making the noise. And there's a reason for that. Because I'm in competition with this tinnitus. I listen to what most people consider loud, loud music. I know the exact volume on every device I own that matches the cicadas, the tinnitus. I know on this thing, I've got to get to 13, and on this thing, I've got to get to 17. And to normal people, they go, man, you're like on the front row in this concert. Yeah, I wish I was always on the front row at some concert, because it's better than what I hear when I'm not there, do you see? I know it's not your problem unless you don't like loud music. But I'm letting you know that because I'm talking about thought. It's what the Lord woke me with. What I'm saying is that all we like sheep have gone astray. You've gone astray. I've gone astray. Even the most religious of us, we've all gone astray. Daily, our thoughts elsewhere. Anything not of faith is sin, even. Our thoughts on something other than God. And nobody can say that that's not so. Paul in Philippians, the book of Philippians, he said, Philippians 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you. You know what? That's thought. Let this mind be in you. You hear it? Let this mind. It's a command, not a suggestion. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, every knee bowed and every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. The whole time, everything that Jesus confessed when he was here was about his Father. It was all about his Father. I don't know about, I've never been a girl. Never going to be. But to a man, there's a special relationship with your Father. You, me. I know some folks, maybe they didn't have, I know there's some disconnected family, but I'm talking about those of us that we really had fathers and we were around our fathers. And no, they weren't perfect. We're not perfect as fathers. But I can tell you that 28 years later, there are times I miss my father. Mother's different. It's not that I don't do it, but a father's a different thing. And when you've been without him, you can't know that until you're without him. Because he's that one link. And even Christ Jesus had that link. Everything he said was for his Father. His whole ministry on earth. My Father's will. You know how that boy will please you? When he does his Father's will. You please him to this day. You're both grown. When you do your Father's will and he pleases his dad who's still living, when he does his Father, it's still pleasing. He said, let you have this mind of Christ. And this is our reasonable service, our mind toward God. I received an email yesterday or day before. I get it, and it's from the man that owns the company I'm with. And he said something that I hear quite often. There's somebody in the company, and they lost a loved one, a brother or somebody, okay? And he said, I could have gotten fired in an instant if I'd have fired this off, so I'll just put it in the message. He said, please keep them in your thoughts. Okay, this person, I think she lost a brother. And I know her, I like her, she's a nice lady. Please keep them in your thoughts. That sounds nice, doesn't it? I mean, you've heard it. I've heard preachers say it. What does that mean? What on God's earth does that mean? And what's that going to do for her? It's certainly not going to do anything for the deceased. She doesn't know I'm thinking. She doesn't even know what I'm thinking. You see, in reality, we've left prayer. Now, prayer would help her. My thoughts, that won't change anything. And you know what else? It'll fly through like, whoosh, okay, I thought about her. But what did I think about her? Okay, yeah, I've been to a lot of funerals. Yeah, I've lost loved ones. Keep them in your thoughts. See how we use words? That's actually Antichrist, by the way. Yet it's done and asked all the time. Keep them in your thoughts. What does it do? Does anybody know? It's actually witchcraft. It really is. Power of positive thinking. Do you know that's witchcraft? I don't think positive or negative. I just think. It might seem, what seems positive to this guy might seem negative to this guy and vice versa. And you have to have a positive and negative. You don't have any power at all. But I can tell you from experience, me thinking I'm going to have a good day didn't. Man, sometimes I think I'm going to have a good day and the storm hits and it's just horrible. And some days I get up and I think, man, this is not going to work. Start bad, end bad, as I always say. And by the end of the day, I'm laughing and joking and life's good. Should have been thinking about God all along because God's controlling that thing. You see, I just get up, gird up my loins like a man, go to work, do what I'm supposed to do. So I'm not going to go deep. That's a message for another time. I said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, this is what I'd have you see and consider. The last line of our text. There's a lot here. I've already written two messages just from the first six verses of Isaiah chapter 53 this week. I've written three messages from the chapter before this. And if this last tenet of verse 6 here is not a bullseye with you, directly to your heart, then you're not his, I'm telling you. Because we see all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now look. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Lord hath laid on him. He tells us we're like sheep gone astray and we've gone our own way and we've done all these things and I've just spoken on them and we've all gone, yeah, that's me and yeah, I do that. And he said, I laid it on him for you. Now you hear me. You see in previous verse that he was wounded. Do you know why? Excuse me. For what he had done? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Folks ask me all the time to explain total depravity. I believe in the doctrine of total depravity. Well, I just did. God did it in one verse. And if you know anything about the crucifixion, God did it in one verse. For our iniquities, for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And if you've got no feeling of that, you're none of his. That it was my sin that hung him upon that cross. He died for me. Not you, me. It's a personal thing. I preached years ago. If he died for you, that's wonderful. But that won't help me at all. Unless he died for my sin. You see. He said in verse 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. I think I've been guilty, I've often kind of misquoted that about his stripes and the healing. If you've no need of peace and healing, this message is not for you. Unless you're a sheep. Unless you're a sheep. And so you can go about your business every day thinking whatever you want to think. You can live your life of sin, uttering cuss words or whatever it is, living in adultery. As I used to say, I said, preacher, you shouldn't tell them that. I said, look, if that's the way you want to go, get all you can get. It's the best it's ever going to be for you. If you like women or dope or alcohol or whatever it is, go get all of it you can get because I'm going to tell you, when this is over, eternity's a long, long time. It'll never end. Get what you can while you can. Because it's going to be over for you. You see. But if you've like a sheep gone astray, then this word is for you. Come home. He calls. Come home. Bible says he calls his sheep. They hear his voice. Says he calls his sheep by name. Now that's the glorious part of this. Turn lastly to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 15. And he said verse 3 through 7. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, and until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So shall we rejoice today or merely go about our business, our thoughts, everyone to his own way, as sheep gone astray? That's what God woke me with this morning. My thoughts. You're to have, if you're a sheep, the mind of Christ. Sort of like the assembling, and you go on about the mind. We're to be a church, a body, like a family. We're to be of one mind. You don't want that boy to be of another mind. Boy, there's nothing, if there's hell on earth, it's having a boy that's of another mind. One mind, one accord. Can two walk together? Amos 3:3, except what? They'd be agreed. What do you think? And it has to be that way, because we'd go to heaven and everybody'd be arguing and fighting, because they wouldn't agree. Do you see? I'm pretty sure we're still going to think in heaven. I don't think God's going to take our mind. We're to have the mind of Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone to his own way. Father, I thank you, Lord.